B-Pod Studios.
Mr. Mike K joins us. What's going on there, Mike?
Well, you guys have me follow Jaws and Torrey Smith. It's like, I think you have me in reverse order here.
No.
Like, I'm not just going to be cleaning up. You know, I'm not the Foo Fighters. I'm Jimmy Eat World. I don't know what, like...
No, don't you belittle yourself. You're a fine writer for NJ.com.
Hey, Jimmy Eat World's a fine performance. I'd pay to see them solo, but they opened for the Foo Fighters in 2008. It happened.
Let me ask that. Were you at that concert?
I was. It was amazing.
Where was it? Where was the venue?
It was Amway Center in Orlando. I was, I believe, a sophomore or a freshman in college.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds like a party. Why not? Good live music. I remember live music. That was fun back in the day.
Yeah, that was real nice.
Yeah. Speaking of live venues, Eagles fans are going to be in the building on Sunday. Have you heard anything or just seen anything about lines being affected with home field advantage? We got into this conversation a little bit yesterday. Usually it's 3 points for the home team, whatever it might be. When you look at something like this, has it been affected at all by the lack of fans in the NFL?
See, I'm not sure, but it should be. I mean, especially for teams like Green Bay and Kansas City and New Orleans and Philadelphia and Minnesota. I mean, there are places where you can't even hear yourself think. New Orleans, when they blew out the Eagles in 2018, I thought my head was going to explode. That stadium got so loud. I think for dome teams, it should definitely impact them because the acoustics are heightened, I would assume. But yeah. No, I haven't really noticed it that much, but that's an interesting philosophy.
Yeah, speaking with Mike K, NJ.com, you wrote an article previewing a lot of these matchups here. I know it's been all over NJ.com talking about the wide receiver, quote-unquote, log jam that could be happening as well. As of right now, do you expect there to be any difference at wide receiver? Do you expect Deshaun to play? Do you expect Alshon to play? What do you expect to see come Sunday at the wide receiver spot?
I think there's an outside chance that Deshaun plays. He's been limited all week. But, you know, they keep on talking about being 100%. Neither one of these guys is going to be 100% this season. I think that's pretty clear. I don't know if they're ever going to be 100% for the rest of their careers. And so, you know, they've got to make decisions. Listen, they've taken up a roster spot for 6 weeks with Alshon Jeffrey, and they thought that he was going to be back on the field sooner. That's the only reason why you don't put him on the PUP list. And now, with bringing Quez Watkins back before he actually kind of needs to be, you're going to have a logjam when Jalen Reagor comes back with 8 wide receivers, and you're going to have to make some decisions on some of these draft picks because, frankly, Travis Fulgham had the best performance of a wide receiver that I've seen since I've been covering this team. So the roster management issues have been plentiful this year. But now they've kind of made some unnecessary issues for themselves with Fulgham stepping out there, Greg Ward playing a pretty key role, John Hightower getting a ton of playing time, and, you know, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside only making catches that don't really matter.
Right. Now, the other guy that's usually the reliable guy in this receiving core is not even a wide receiver, it's the tight end, it's Zach Ertz. No Dallas Goedert. Really, you would think there'd be more looks at Zach Ertz, and nothing has really come out of that. Why do you think there's an issue with Zach Ertz's production this season?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people want to put the blame on Zach, but Carson's been throwing high to him all season. They've just been off the market out of sync. You know, they thrive on timing routes, and the timing, they're just like, one's in the West Coast and the other's on the East Coast. It's really alarming that these two guys who are really close friends, who have a lot of chemistry and a long history of working together, have just not gotten on the same page. I'm not really sure what the root of the problem is.
Mike, I asked Jaws earlier today that, do you think the Eagles defense is going to throw a spy on Lamar Jackson on Sunday, which Jim Schwartz talked about earlier this week that he has done before? But if they do, who would they do that with?
You're not going to like the answer.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, look, here, it's probably going to be Nate Gary. So the positive I can throw for fans is
takes him out of
being coverage.
Exactly.
Look, they rave about his intelligence all the time. They rave about his ability to play the run, the pass. Well, now he gets to really prove it. I mean, maybe this is the best spot for him, is to use his speed to get sideline to sideline, to be able to keep Lamar Jackson in the pocket. The only other alternative I could see is if Will Parks is back and they make that third safety role, the spy. But I think it's probably going to be Nate Gary. I don't think you want Duke Riley having that responsibility, even with how terrible Nate Gary's been in coverage. But again, taking Nate Gary out of coverage, not a bad idea.
Right. How likely do you think it is that you actually have Will Parks out there on Sunday?
It's looking good.
Okay.
It sounds pretty good. I know he wants to be out there. I think it just comes down to a decision, from a roster standpoint. But I did see that they protected Graylin Arnold yesterday. They also visited with Blake Countess. But you also have to remember Marcus Epps is injured with a ribs injury, and he could be out. He hasn't practiced this week. So could be an interesting one where they kind of have a couple of new bodies out there.
What as far as scheme goes, I know the talent level isn't exactly great defensively, especially after the injuries. I know we spent a lot of time talking about the offensive line and injuries there, but defensively there's injuries there as well. Is there any scheme that you expect Jim Schwartz to draw up here that actually give them a fighting chance against the Ravens in the rushing attack?
Well, I think they're going to look to cage Lamar Jackson. I spoke to former Browns defensive backs coach Dwayne Walker about this, and he said typically what you want to do with Lamar Jackson is you don't want to play for the sack. You want to play for the pressure, and you want to basically force him to make throws because that's where he'll make mistakes. So essentially the pass rushers close in on the edge, and the defensive tackles take away passing lanes. That's what you want to do with Lamar Jackson, because if you play to rush him, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to trip up in the pass rush. It's just going to be this whole thing. So I think for them, the best outlook would be to essentially make sure Lamar Jackson becomes a pocket passer.
Michael, have you been satisfied with the way the Eagles have been using Miles Sanders so far this year? And also, how do you see them hopefully using him on Sunday?
Well, I think when you talk about being satisfied with his usage, absolutely not. I mean, he's 20th in the league in carries while still ranking 13th in the league in rushing yards. He's been a guy that can make things happen. You saw the 74-yard touchdown, and then he gets like basically no carries in the second half. Same thing with the Bengals game. He had kind of a pedestrian game against the 49ers, and they still didn't use him. So I don't know what he needs to do and what he needs to accomplish for Doug Peterson to trust that running attack, but they're not using him to his full potential because he's clearly among the best running backs in the league. Since week two, I believe he's third in the league in rushing yards. And he's already got 3 touchdowns, which is as many as he had last year on the ground. So clearly he's doing something right. I'm not really sure why they've abandoned the run so much.
Yeah, and offensively speaking, generally speaking, I should say, offensive lines, they enjoy run blocking more so. So if you have an offensive line that is as piecemealed as this one is, as oddly put together it is at this point because of injury, I don't understand why they wouldn't run the football more. Do you see it the same way?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really get it. If you're trying to establish the offensive line, running the football is the right way to go, especially early on. They've been in all of these games. They were in the Pittsburgh game pretty much throughout. They were even in the Rams game, and they got away from the run. I just don't really understand. You know, it's one of those things that's kind of weird to me where everybody can say, well, the run game wasn't working. Well, you know what? Normally the passing game can struggle too, but you don't get away from that. I just don't understand why that's an excuse. It's not like they were down 3 scores. They didn't have to play a ton of catch up. Frankly, Miles Sanders is their best offensive player, so getting away from him is never a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Mike K, NJ.com. Mike, what is your prediction for Eagles Ravens on Sunday?
It's not pretty. I have them, the Ravens, winning 38-20.
38-20. I am actually not far off from you. I saw your article and I was like, yeah, I'm not far off from this guy. We got to get him on. Mike, always great catching up with you, man. Thanks so much. And good luck on Sunday with all the fans down there as well.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to seeing them.
Absolutely. Mike K joining us there, NJ.com. You know,
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.